This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish spacious Bobopedic sofas, and feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real five-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park, where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events, like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
Let's get back to more Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Your guy's pretty smooth too, though.
Yes.
You're
yes,
nice, man.
Yes, right.
Talk about just what having a quarterback that everybody believes in does for an organization.
You know, just what you said is that when you start the game, you know, when you have someone like Caleb, yeah, and then every once in a while you see these generational quarterbacks, is that the game is never over. It's never over, and he is he does it in such a calm, positive, confident demeanor. Is that he works hard, he's diligent, and then now with the combination of Caleb and Coach Johnson is really, you know, yeah, special. But yeah, when you have someone in that position like we have in Caleb, is such a, we're fortunate because, and he showed it this time just collectively, it is truly never over until until all the time on the clock is gone.
There's Kevin Warner on Pro Football Talk. Kevin Warren, excuse me, on Pro Football Talk, talking about Caleb Williams. Rami Makhlouf with you. Hour two of 3 hours here on Score Evenings. Coming up, I'll talk some Illini and Final Four with Sammy P, the host of the Bear Bets Pod and the Chicken Dinner Pod. He'll be here at about 7:25. Right now, I want to ask you about that man that you just heard, Kevin Warren, talking about, Caleb Williams, heading into year three of his NFL career, year two in Ben Johnson's system. And how big a step do you need to see from Caleb Williams in next season for you to be feeling not just good about Caleb Williams, but about Ben Johnson as well? Because job number one for Ben Johnson is to develop Caleb Williams into a franchise-level quarterback and an MVP candidate type of quarterback. So how big a step do you need to see from Caleb Williams in year three to be feeling pretty good about things? 312-644-6767. I started, I don't know if you caught it, Grant, I started to give out the Milwaukee numbers. A four almost left my lips, and I did not. So
you almost let the four leave your lip, and then a five almost went to my wallet.
But it did not. It did not. And this is going off comments from, well, you just heard Kevin Warren there, and Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles in sit-downs, one with the Athletic, with Dan Wiederer of the Athletic. That was Ben Johnson and Ryan Poles in a sit-down he had with Patrick Finley for the Chicago Sun-Times, talking about what they want to see from Caleb Williams in year three that they didn't necessarily get in year two and his first year under the tutelage tutelage of Ben Johnson. What do you need to see from Caleb in year three? 312-644-6767. And as far as Johnson, he said, when you watch our self-scout video, we've probably got 80 to 100 completions left on the table. I think he's going to recognize that. And he goes on to say, there are going to be a number of snaps on tape where he'll look at it and be like, man, I've got to put this ball 6 inches further out in front, or I need to put this a little bit lower. Things of that nature. Really, he's got to challenge himself. We're going to challenge him, but he has to acknowledge, I need to be better in these areas. And Ryan Poles, in his one-on-one with Patrick Finley for the Sun-Times, he used a stoplight analogy in talking about where they're at and where they want to be with Caleb Williams after this coming season. Says it's good to almost feel like you've got it. If you go with a traffic light, it went red as a rookie to yellow. You can creep forward a little bit and start having some of these conversations to anticipate it, but we need him to give us a green light. I think we'll find out this year about his progress. And he says consistency is what I'm looking for. So that's what Ryan Poles is looking for. That's what Ben Johnson is looking for. What are you looking for in year three for Caleb Williams? How much of a step does he need to take for you to be feeling good about the Bears quarterback position for the first time in a long time? And is there anyone else who you need to see take a step for the Bears next season? 312-644-6767. And I feel like this is, like, it might seem a little ridiculous to some people that I'm talking about next season and Caleb Williams' performance next season here on April 2nd, but we were all so high on Caleb and the season that we just saw. I think we needed to come down a little bit off of that to step back and say, okay, he was good, but where can he be better and how can he be great and how can we all see a great quarterback in a Bears uniform for the first time in our lifetimes, for most of us. Some of you may be blessed to be old enough to have watched Sid Luckman, but I know I've never seen a great quarterback. I've seen some good ones. You know, Jay Cutler was pretty damn good. Not great, but he was pretty damn good. I've seen some good ones, never great. And that's what I want from Caleb Williams. And quite frankly, what the Bears are going to want before they give him the big contract extension, which they'll probably have to decide by next offseason if they're going to do that. And Poles talked about that as well and said that, you know, he says, I'm sure it'll present challenges. We have gotten that far, but if and when we get to that point, we'll embrace that challenge of giving him the big contract extension as we approach the end of the rookie window. There's a few things specifically that I'm looking to get from Caleb Williams in year two that'll take it from, to use Ryan Poles' analogy, a yellow light to a green light. One, and it's what Ben Johnson talked about, is the accuracy. And that just, it hasn't been there consistently enough here in the first 2 years. I think we saw a slight improvement in that in year two, and especially in the second half of year two. I think we saw a little bit better accuracy from Caleb Williams. But like Johnson said, there's 80 to 100 completions left on the table if there's just better ball placement. If he's either putting it on his man when the coverage requires it, or out in front of his man when the coverage requires it, or, you know, putting it low and getting it where only the receiver can get it and it's sort of out of the defensive back's reach. So the accuracy is one thing that I'd like to see from Caleb Williams. The completion percentage, I don't know. Remember last year, Ben Johnson was talking about a 70% completion rate was the goal for Caleb Williams. He fell significantly short of that. He had a 58% completion percentage last year. And Wiederer, in the article that I just referenced, he says a spike from 58 to 65% would be the next stop on the path to where we're trying to get Caleb Williams. And I'd be more than happy with that. If you can get up to 65%, and that kind of goes hand in hand with the accuracy issues that I just talked about, getting from 58 to 65% would go a long way in making me feel a lot better about Caleb Williams and the Bears potentially giving him that big contract as soon as next offseason. But the big thing for me, man, is The late game heroics are great, and I think this is as much on Ben Johnson, the point that I'm about to bring out, that as it is on Caleb Williams. And again, this whole conversation, I think, is as much about Ben Johnson as it is about Caleb Williams, because let's be real, if Ben Johnson doesn't get the most out of Caleb Williams, if he doesn't get this dude to his ceiling, which most people seem to think his ceiling is franchise type quarterback or MVP candidate at the very least type of quarterback, then we're not all feeling as good about the Ben Johnson hire a year or especially 2 years from now as we are sitting here today. And the last thing is the slow starts, man. And like I said, that's as much on Ben Johnson and the scripting of the first 15 as it is on Caleb Williams. But to me, that's a huge step to take forward, is if we can eliminate the slow starts in these football games, the first, you know, punting on the first drive seemingly every single game damn near last year. I think that goes a long way, and maybe as fun as it is, as entertaining as last year was, maybe you don't need the late game heroics as often as you did last season. Maybe you don't need to win seven games that you were trailing in the last 2 minutes. And quite frankly, I don't care how good Caleb Williams is under pressure and what he does in the last 2 minutes of football games, that's going to be something that's hard to replicate and do year in and year in and year out, is to get that many late game comeback victories. So I think solving the early game struggles of Caleb Williams and the offense as a whole goes a long way to making this a more legitimately and consistently good offense and football team than what we even saw last year. And I'm not saying by any means that last year was a quote-unquote fluke for the Chicago Bears, and they're not as good as that 11-5 record. The NFL is the ultimate you are what your record says you are league in my eyes, and the Bears were every bit an 11-win team. But that being said, the law of averages says two things that are really hard to sort of replicate and do year over year is turnovers, generating a lot of turnovers, and obviously that was a big part of the recipe for Bears victories last year, and close late game comeback victories. The odds say you win about 50% of those games that are within one score, and the Bears won well over 50% of those one score games. So to me, to be a more legitimately and consistently good offense and football team, you're going to need to solve those early game struggles, as well as, and this was something that Wiederer and Johnson brought up in that piece at The Athletic, I encourage you to go and check it out, the last 2 minutes of the first half, their performance there, and the first 2 minutes coming out of the second half, those 4 minutes right there, you talk to coaches, man, and those are, like a lot of coaches think, those are the most crucial 4 minutes of a football game. You figured those things out. You solved those things, the slow starts, the last 2 minutes of the half, the first 2 minutes of the second half, and those types of little things go a long way in improving a quarterback's performance and an offense's performance and taking things to the next level. How big a step do you need to see from Caleb Williams in year three as an NFL quarterback, year two in Ben Johnson's system? 312-644-6767. This texter from the 608 is already there. He says, he has proven himself to me. I love a quarterback that can run. That asset changes games around. He is the best QB in the division. The first part of that text, I paused for a second because the second part of that text, I don't know if I'm quite ready to go that far. It's him or Jordan Love. It's him or Jordan Love as the best quarterback in the division. He's the best running quarterback in the division. He might be the best running quarterback in the league if you look at certain statistics and metrics and measurements. Yeah, he can run. He can make magic happen with his legs, both in terms of his escapability and doing things in terms of manipulating and moving around in the pocket and waiting for things to open up downfield, and just his ability to get out and make big plays and get yardage with his legs. Best quarterback in the division? Again, it's close. It's him or Jordan Love. I think what Jordan Love has that maybe Caleb Williams doesn't, and Caleb Williams has traits that Jordan Love doesn't, so I think it's a toss-up between those two. Caleb Williams, the better clutch quarterback in my eyes, and probably one of the better clutch quarterbacks in the league. Caleb Williams, the better runner of the two. Jordan Love, not that great a runner, not the most athletic guy, not the most dangerous with his feet or with his legs, but going back to what I said I'd like to see more of from Caleb Williams that I think Jordan Love does possess, and I know I'm inviting the people who are like, oh, go back to Milwaukee, yeah, you're a Packers fan. I'm not. Born and raised in Chicago, Bears fan through and through, and I let Packers fans know that on my Milwaukee show. But Jordan Love is a little bit more consistent. He's a little bit more consistent with his performance and his ability to read and dissect a defense than what Caleb Williams is. So for me, it's a toss-up, and maybe even an edge to Jordan Love as the best quarterback in the division. Listen, man, that guy was fourth in the MVP odds deep into the season before he suffered an injury, and then Micah Parsons goes down and Tucker Kraft goes down, and their season sort of falls apart in the last 4 or 5 weeks of the season. He was having the type of year that had him loosely in the discussion for MVP, and I think if not for some of those things that went wrong up in Green Bay, he's probably more solidly in the conversation as an MVP candidate. So toss up and probably slight edge to Jordan Love as best quarterback in the division. You guys want to send in your text? I'll read a few more of those on Caleb Williams and what do you need to see from him next year to be feeling really good about the quarterback position in Chicago for the first time in a long time? And is there anybody else you'd like to see take a big step for the Bears next year that you think needs to take a big step for the Bears next year for the season to play out the way we all hope it plays out? 312-644-6767. And like I said, you send those texts in. I'll read a few more of them after I talk some Illini and Final Four with Sammy P, the host of the Bear Bets Pod. He'll join me next to talk some Illini and Final Four right after this on Score Evenings with me, Rami Makhlouf, on Chicago Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Little Bob here. This summer, shop the latest small space solutions at Bob's Discount Furniture. From retro chic bedroom sets to stylish space-conscious Bob-o-pedic sofas, it's all at Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park, where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events, like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Let's get back to more Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
Final 19 seconds, and that is going to do it. The celebration here in Houston by Illinois' faithful has begun. Brad Underwood embraces his assistants in front of the Illini bench. Final 2 seconds as the party in champagne has begun. The Fighting Illini have punched their ticket to Indianapolis as they are headed to the Final Four for the first time in 21 years.
Rami Makhlouf with you for another 90 minutes or so here on Score Evenings. APB out on Sammy P of the Bear Bets Pod, slated to join me here to talk a little Illinois, Illini, and Final Four. We'll get to him in just a minute as Grant efforts to get Sammy P on the guest hotline. But I was asking you before the break, what would you like to see? How big a step do you think you need to see from Caleb Williams in year three as a pro to be feeling really good about the quarterback position for the Bears for probably, depending how old you are, the first time in our lifetimes? And we kind of stumbled into a texter said he is the best QB in the division. I said that probably goes to Jordan Love, at least for now. I think Caleb Williams could usurp him for that title in this season if he does some of the things I talked about, up the accuracy, up the completion percentage. Rid yourself of the early game woes and the late first half woes, like the last 2 minutes of the first half. And I think he by the end of this year, he could be the best quarterback in the division. This texter from the 630 says Goff is better than both. There is an argument to be made for Jared Goff as the best quarterback in the division. Another texter says he has proven himself to me, or that's the one I read already. This one from the 815 says Love has been in the same system for what, 6 seasons, and Caleb was in his first year in Ben's system. Yeah, that's a great point, and that's why I said Jordan Love probably has the edge and is more consistent and better at reading and dissecting defenses at this point than what Caleb Williams is. I'll have time to read a few more of those texts if you want to keep them coming on the Caleb Williams discussion at 312-644-6767. But there is my guy on the guest hotline from the Bear Bets Pod and the Chicken Dinner Pod to talk a little Illini and Final Four. It is Sammy P. Sammy, how are you this evening, my man?
Rami, what's good, my man? How you doing?
Doing good. And I know you're doing good, Sammy. I got a picture sent to me by producer extraordinaire Grant Leader before the show that he said was sent to him by you, and you wanted this picture to get to me. I understand it's you in 2008 decked out in orange. Was this you watching the Illini the last time they went to a Final Four?
Well, not last time, but I can tell you this, like when we were in school, like all we wanted was Illinois to be good, you know? So this is like 2009. That was actually when game day came to Champaign. It was a good time. Yeah. I mean, they were okay, but they weren't this good. I mean, this, you know, as you've watched, this team is very, very good. You know, Illinois is like awesome right now. So, you know, we've been trying to get back to the Final Four. It's been a while, but this team is so good, and I feel like we're so close. I'm just trying not to get too excited, Ben.
Yeah, and Sammy, I'll totally upfront and transparent with you. I'm the type of college basketball fan that starts paying attention in March. All right, I will just admit. Now, I will also add this. I'm in first place in the office pool right now, and I had three of the Final Four locked in, including the Illini. I had them in my Final Four, and a lot of people were like, "Well, how'd you come up with that?" And I was like, "Luck. I'm just gonna chalk it up to luck." But Sammy, you're right. This is as good as they've been in some time. How did we get here? Explain it to me like I'm five, to quote Michael Scott.
Well, their offense is elite. I mean, they've been, you know, one of the best programs in the country in terms of like putting the ball in the basket. But, you know, if you follow Ken Pomeroy, they are legit in the history of the program in Ken Pomeroy, like the last, you know, 20 years or so, they're number one. Like they are efficient as hell on offense. And that's, you know, very, very sexy because everybody likes offense and baskets and 3-point shots. But, you know, Ken Pom started in 1997. They are, since 97, they are the number one offense in the world. So they're very, very good offensively, and they hit a lot of shots. And, you know, of course, you know, naturally, I'm Serbian, so I'm very happy with them being very, you know, Croatian, Serbian, Montenegrin. But they make their baskets, and they're very good offensively. I think their issue is obviously getting back, you know, like, you know, on the defensive side of the ball. But they're very, very efficient. They're very, very, you know, very in control on offense. And, you know, what Brad Underwood has done is with this, you know, like Serbian, Croatian, Montenegrin faction. I mean, they're very, very European, you know, and they've called it the Balkan Five. So they've been very, very efficient. And it's, you know, as a guy whose last name is Panayotovic, my father's very, very efficient and very, very happy. My father's following every step. They're very, I mean, this is the most elite offense, you know, Rami, we've seen in 25 years. So offensively, they are as good as they get. The question is, can they get stops in the Final Four?
I'm glad you go by Sammy P and you didn't make me pronounce. Did you say Panayotovic? Did I get it right? Did I nail that?
Panayotovic. Yes, sir.
Panayotovic. Okay. All right. And I did. I host a daily show in Milwaukee, and my co-host the other day, knowing I'm not, you know, a college basketball expert by any means, he asked me, why did you have Illinois in the Final Four? I was like, they had a lot of Eastern Europeans, and I assume those guys have played at a high level before even coming to play college basketball. So the bright lights of the NCAA tournament wouldn't necessarily blind them. So apparently that was a good assumption on my part, Sammy P.
Yeah, I mean, they're, like I said, they're very, very good. They're very, very foreign, as we've alluded to. But this is a team. I mean, like, look, Rami, let's be honest. Like, you know, 20 years ago, Illinois is very, you know, centralized. They're recruiting from Champaign and, you know, Charleston and Galena. Like it's a very, very, like, centralized, you know, situation. But, you know, with Brad Underwood, they've been very, very good at recruiting outside of their comfort zone. And you know, like I said, they've got, you know, four or five guys from the Balkans, Serbia, Croatia, Montenegro. And it's a very, very intriguing bunch because they are so good at putting the ball in the basket. But again, if you look at the NBA right now, like Luka Doncic, Nikola Jokic, Victor Wembanyama, like the best players in the NBA are very, very foreign. And that's, you know, to a lot of people, that's very, very unsexy. But, you know, the game has changed and it's very, very acceptable to be, you know, one of those guys that puts the ball in the basket from a different country. And Brad Underwood has understood that.
Talking with Sammy P, the host of the Bear Bets Pod and the Chicken Dinner Pod, and you can find him on Twitter at SP Shoot. All right, let's get into the game. Illinois, a 1.5-point favorite. Sammy P, why? They're the 3 seed and UConn is the 2 seed. You would assume the higher seed would be favored in this one. And B, how do you feel about that spread and the Illini's ability to cover that 1.5 and come out with a victory on Saturday night?
Well, naturally, I'm nervous as an Illinois guy.
Of course, I'm
terrified, right? Yeah, of course, because, you know, when you want something good, it never happens that way. But look, if Illinois makes their baskets and makes the 3-point shots, they're going to win the game. As I said, they're very, very exceptionally good at putting the ball in the basket. You know, they're, according to KenPom, in the last 20 years, they're the best offense ever. So that's, you know, very enticing, of course, but UConn is very good defensively. So for Illinois, it comes down to making the shots. And, you know, it sounds simple, but they got to put the ball in the basket. You know, UConn is going to double the shooters off the ball. But I think for Illinois, it's this simple. Like, if Keaton Wagler is the best player on the court, they're going to win. And he is sort of morphed into that, you know, top 10 pick, very attractive, you know, college basketball player. I think if Illinois does what they're supposed to do, they're going to win. And we're going to have a Big Ten final between Illinois and Michigan. But, you know, UConn is, you know, notoriously very good defensively. So if UConn can shut the blinds, they're going to win. I think, honestly, the key to the game is Andrei Stojakovic, who, of course, transferred from Cal and is now at Illinois, fellow Serbian, by the way, wink, wink. If Illinois makes their shots, they win. It sounds so simplistic, but if Illinois makes their shots, they're going to go to the national title game.
I came across this little tidbit on your Twitter timeline, and I hate to bring it up, but you brought it up at SP Shoots on the Bear Bets Pod Twitter timeline. Danny Hurley, very good against the spread in the tournament here in recent history. How nervous does that make you?
Oh, it makes me sick, man. As you said, you know, they're very, very good. So Danny Hurley, last 18 NCAA tournament games, 17-1 ATS. Oof. That's right. Yeah. Oof. It's tough, you know, if you're an Illinois guy. You know, Danny Hurley has consistently overachieved to the market, and he's been very, very good against the number. And, you know, from my world, it's how do you achieve to the market? And again, 17-1 last 18. Also, think about this. You know, UConn's a 2 seed, Illinois is a 3 seed. And the 2 seed is an underdog, Rami, right? Like, it's not, you know, it shouldn't be the case, but it's a very good team. You know, should they have beat Duke? I don't know. But they are very dangerous, and they are very, very efficient at covering the spread against the number.
That guy's a psycho, too. How is that not a technical foul when he almost headbutted that referee with the jacket hanging off his shoulder in that game against Duke?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, personal, you know, I would have said, you know, don't headbutt the guy. But you know, Danny Hurley's an exceptional coach, and he's made a lot of people. I'll tell you this: he's made a lot of people a lot of money. And you know me, like, I'm talking to guys in Vegas all the time. Danny Hurley has been the most profitable coach in the country last, you know, 10 years or so. Like, he makes people money. We want them to lose. We want Illinois to win. But Danny Hurley's been very, very good at making people a lot of money. 17-1 last 18 games against the spread.
You kind of gave a preview of how you think the other Final Four game between Michigan and Arizona is going to play out this weekend, and saying we could have an all Big Ten final. Are you picking Michigan in that one, Sammy?
Yeah, that's my bracket. You know, I got Michigan over, actually I had Michigan over Duke, which is not going to come through, but I think Michigan's the most complete team in terms of shot making, defense, free throws, efficiency. I think, you know, obviously Arizona could win. It's a very, very coin flip game, because Michigan and Arizona, like, the spread, Michigan's like a 1.5 point favorite, but I think Yaxel is the key. You know, Yaxel's been unbelievable. You know, the last 3 games, he's been like a 25-point scorer every game, the transfer from UAB. So I think Michigan wins. Obviously, of course, Arizona could win. But I think we get, honestly, Rami, I think we get a Big Ten final. I think we get Michigan against Illinois, which would blow up the narrative from everybody in the SEC thinking, oh, the SEC is the best. I think we get Illinois, Michigan in the title game on Monday night.
That is Sammy Paniatovich, a.k.a. Sammy P, host of the Bear Bets Pod and the Chicken Dinner Pod over on Fox Sports. You can follow him on Twitter at SP Shoot. Always appreciate the time, Sammy. Enjoy all the Final Four action this weekend, my man. Hope your line not come through.
Thanks, Rami. Appreciate it.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in 4 fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas, to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park, where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events, like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Get you.
Let's get back to more Rami Makhlouf on Chicago's Sports Radio 104.3 The Score.
I'm not the biggest T.I. guy, but this new song he put out, banger, banger for T.I., and, you know, in the later years of his rap career, most guys aren't still putting out bangers at the age that T.I. is at. So give that man his flowers. I am going to talk some White Sox with James Fagan of the Sox Machine coming up at 8 o'clock. But wanted to pick up the conversation on Caleb Williams and the Bears that we were having before I talked some college hoops with Sammy P. And I was asking, how big of a step do you need to see from Caleb Williams next season to be feeling good about the QB position? And is there anybody else you're looking at to take a big step? 312-644-6767. You wanna get in on that? And a lot of texts came in on that while I was talking to Sammy P. This one from the 312 and goes to one of the things I pointed to. Said Caleb needs to find the open receivers and hit receivers in stride to improve the rack. Then he will have arrived. And that's what Ben Johnson talked about in some of those quotes I read from the one-on-one with Dan Wiederer for The Athletic. This one from the 312 I thought was a really good point on who else needs to take a step next year. This is from Gator, who says, if the D takes a big step, so will Caleb. He won't have to always come from behind, and he will, in theory, get more opportunities due to time of possession. The D needs to get faster, angrier, and younger, have to afford the Iceman in the future. And he adds, P.S., great work, Rami. Appreciate it, Gator. And yeah, that's an underappreciated or understated element of the game, is how all three of the phases really work hand in hand with each other, and a good defense makes things a lot easier for an offense, and especially the quarterback, when you're getting better field position and you're getting more time of possession, and you're not always playing from behind and have pass rushers pinning their ears back and knowing that they can rush the quarterback and tee off on you. So I think, yeah, man, making the defense a lot better next year, and I'd love them to get to work on that any day now. And any time they want to start getting to work on making the defense better, that would be great. And I think that would go a long way in improving Caleb Williams, or at least making his life and his job a whole hell of a lot easier. And this texter from the 312 takes the words right out of my mouth as far as who needs to take a big step forward next year. I'm looking at Roma Dunze, man. And again, that's what the texter says Roma Dunze needs to take a big step forward. That again goes hand in hand with Caleb Williams taking a big step forward, but I'm really looking at Rome next year with the trade of DJ Moore, which I did not love. Like, I hear a lot of people saying they got good value for him, getting a second round pick for a wide receiver that wasn't a huge part of the offense last year, at least not for the first 10-11 weeks of the season. It's good value, but is that second round pick going to come in here and impact or affect winning or have their thumb on the scale of winning football games to the extent that even a DJ Moore did? And I don't know that you can say that. Last year's draft class was more the exception to the rule, more the anomaly than what is the norm for the Bears and really teams all around the league. To get that type of contribution from a rookie class is not something you always get. Trading for draft picks, to me, is a move for the future and not a win-now move. And so to sort of replace some of what you lost with DJ Moore, I think Roma Dunze needs to take a big step forward and quite frankly, just be better at catching the football. It sounds like something obvious for a wide receiver, but I think that's where Roma Dunze has the most area to, or the most room for improvement. Texter from the 708 says we need to start fast on offense, not just marginally better, but fast. All caps, fast. I'm a little under the weather, so I can't scream it, but he says fast. And yeah, man, those slow starts were an Achilles heel for this football team last year and for Caleb Williams. And so to improve on that will make things a lot easier later in the game. And this texter from the 773 says Caleb threw 20-6. I think that he's talking about his touchdown interception ratio with 3,600 yards as a rookie with three OCs past year, threw for almost 4,000 yards. Why is he overlooked sometimes, especially his rookie season, which was great for a Bear? Fair point, but those last three words are a very important qualifier for a Bear. And I don't want to measure quarterbacks on that scale anymore. I want to measure quarterbacks against great quarterbacks in this league. I want to get to a point where I don't have to compare Caleb Williams to other Bears quarterbacks, but to great quarterbacks in this league, both past and present. So that's when I say take a big step forward and feel good about the quarterback position, that's the bar that I'm looking to clear. I did want to talk real quick about the stadium saga and a lot of quotes coming out of the owners' meetings in the last few days about the stadium, including, and there was one thing that George McCaskey said that rubbed me the wrong way, but I first wanted to address what Roger Goodell said, talking about Soldier Field. He says that has a lot of great tradition, but as far as advancements in technology and advancements in the quality of the stadium for the fan experience, I would say it's not at the top of the list, so they need to find that resolution. My question is this, based off those Roger Goodell comments, and I am legitimately asking this question to the Bears fan who regularly, or even somewhat regularly, goes to Bears games, because I am not one of those. I think football is better enjoyed on TV. I think it's a TV product more than an in-person product. That's just my personal preference, so I don't go to a lot of Bears games. But when he talks about advancements in technology and advancements in the quality of the stadium for the fan experience, is it really that bad at Soldier Field? Like, I know the technology isn't great. Do you need, like, the bigger Jumbotron or whatever technology he's talking about, or like automated concessions that will pour your beer for you? Like, I don't know. Like, I think this is a question I haven't heard asked. But for you, the Bears fan who goes to games, and I, like I said, I'm going to talk some White Sox with James Fagan of the Sox Machine coming up in just a minute. So if you want to text in on this, feel free, and I'll read some of those texts after I talk some Sox with James. For the fans, not for the Bears and to maximize their profits and put more money in the pockets of the Hallises and the NFL as a whole, do you need a new stadium? Do you need a new stadium? Not the Bears. Do you need a new stadium? Do you need advancements in technology and advancements in the quality of the stadium for the fan experience? Because I could be wrong. I feel like Bears fans don't really need all the bells and whistles. Like, we go there for the football. We're there for the football, and we're there whether it's 80 degrees out and you're sweaty and miserable, or it's, you know, minus 20 and you're freezing your ass off. Like, I feel like Bears fans are there for the football, and all these little bells and whistles that mean more revenue for the Bears and the NFL, that you don't really, do you need that? Like, I know that that Soldier Field has its drawbacks, and it's old, and it doesn't have, you know, as many seats as a lot of modern NFL stadiums, and it's hard to get in and out of. I understand that, but you, the Bears fan, I'm genuinely asking, who goes to the game, do you need a new stadium and advancements in technology and advancements in the quality of the stadium for your experience, as Roger Goodell said? Please answer that question, because I feel like fans are the ones who get lost and forgotten in all this as the league is trying to figure out how to stuff more money in their pockets. Do you need a new stadium, whether in Chicago or Arlington Heights or Hammond, Indiana? Do you need a new stadium? 312-644-6767. And then I know, Grant, I know I'm running late for the break, but I wanted to play this clip from George McCaskey, because, and I want to react to it because it really rubs me the wrong way. Here's George McCaskey talking about the possibility of the Bears moving to Hammond, Indiana, and comparing it to other NFL team situations.
I don't think in the end it's going to matter to people. Back in 1976, the New York football Giants went across the state line to New Jersey. They've been there ever since. The Jets joined them shortly thereafter. And then 35 years later, both teams had an opportunity to reevaluate their situations and recommitted to New Jersey. And somehow, the Republic has survived. When the Bears moved from Wrigley Field to Soldier Field, it required an adjustment. When we went to Champaign, it required an adjustment. And whether we go to Arlington Park or to Hammond, there is going to be an adjustment period. People are going to have to be allowed some time to get used to it. I think Bears fans are up to it.
I feel like that's really dismissive of what I think is legitimately something that a lot of Bears fans are upset. Now, is he right that we'll get used to it and they'll probably keep selling out games and people will make the trip from Chicago to whatever this new stadium is called, and the Bears, as I said, will continue and the league will continue stuffing money in their pockets? Yeah, probably. But there's a good portion of Bears fans who are really irked by the idea that the Bears are not going to be playing football in Chicago and still calling themselves the Chicago Bears, and maybe even not even playing in the state of Illinois. And that sounded really dismissive to me of those Bears fans and their concerns. To me, that just wasn't the most elegant way to address that and to answer that question, is to just say, you'll be fine. You'll get over it. You'll adjust and you'll get over it, and this is good for us, so you all just deal with it. I really did not like that answer from George McCaskey. And I think George McCaskey has been better in talking about this recently than we've heard from the Bears in a while. But that answer right there to me was a misstep. That to me was a misstep by George McCaskey, and really kind of rubbed me the wrong way about what I think is a legitimate gripe among Bears fans, that you're going to take this team and move them not just out of the city, but out of the state, and just saying, you'll eat your vegetables and you'll like it. Really did not like that. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. And like I said, please answer that question. Do you need a new stadium? Do you need all the bells and whistles? And I got a few already, and I'll read some of those texts after I talk some White Sox with James Fagan of the Sox Machine. He joins me, Rami Makhlouf, next on Score Evenings right here on Chicago Sports Radio, 104.3 The Score.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.